Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. Then things change and you're down in the valley. Well, don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. Talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valleys of those trials and temptations, well, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. God of the day is still God in the night. God of the day is still God in the night. God of
the Holy Ghost has laid a message on my heart that is really over my head. And I don't mind saying that. But when the Lord speaks to me something, I take it serious. And I give it my best. I give it all I've got. I give it with all my heart. And it is one delight and joy to preach this message. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2. My subject is the heavens are opening for the end. The heavens are opening for the end. Or I could call it the doors of heaven. The doors of heaven. Have you thought lately of the kinship between heaven and earth? Have you thought of how the two relate so intimately together? The heavens and the earth. That the heavens are eternal. The heavens have been there for eternity. There's no date. There's no beginning or ending to the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the heavens where their kingdom resides. But the earth is at best about 6,000 years old. God created it just especially for man. Just especially for man. And it belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians 12:2. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such and one caught up to the third heaven. Now I want you to notice that. Caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. And though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, just now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he thinketh or seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Now here is a text in which Apostle Paul tells of a man whom most people believe without a question Apostle Paul is the man. But he tells it as in a second person, so as to give no glory to himself. I respect Apostle Paul for that. He says this person, he couldn't tell whether they was in the body or the spirit. He couldn't understand that. He didn't know which it was. Isn't that wonderful when a man just tells it like he sees it and shows the limitation of himself and of his flesh? He says, I cannot tell. But what he goes on to say, I knew such a man, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. And he said of this, that it was in the third heavens. The third heaven. Father, help me preach this morning. I really am aware of just where we are prophetically. I'm aware of where we are in the spiritual realm. Your Holy Ghost has been dealing with me in things and of things of which I have never before researched and studied and preached about. But Father, I've got to have your wisdom, and I must be careful to declare to you that any good thing that comes from this sermon will be of you, Lord, and of your power, and not of Joe Chambers. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen, and you may be seated. Now I want to preach to you this morning about the opening of the heavens in this time of the end. I want you to somehow get a grasp of what the Holy Ghost is saying. I have no question in my mind to tell you that the Spirit of the Lord has laid this truth upon my heart, and I believe it to be genuine and real and dependable. And this is the truth, that heaven is in the process of opening up. Heaven is being made manifest in such a manner, and the things of heaven are being revealed in such a way, and prophecy is being fulfilled in such a beautiful, beautiful picture. And the earth is in consternation, I would presume, just as great as has ever been in all of human history. Because we're coming to the dividing time. We're coming to a time of prophetic fulfillment that's really overwhelming to think about. The heavens being unopened, made manifest and revealed until this earth will be just exactly what God always intended for us to understand, just a backyard place to the marvels of the heavenly place. Paul called it in this beautiful vision that he tells about as paradise. And he said in that place called paradise, there was things he saw that were not utterable. He said it was unlawful to tell all that he saw. Amen. Do you get a picture? Do you understand? Now let's talk a little bit about the door of heaven. The door of heaven. I have been studying to search out the places in the Bible, and I'm only going to give you a little picture of this and a few of these, but to study about the door of heaven, that there is a connection, a gateway between the heavens of the heavens and the earth beneath. May I start by telling you the heavens is so broad and so great and so indescribable, like Paul said, so indescribable that man cannot grasp all of this. That man cannot understand all of this. This is literally over man's head. But I tell you, this earth is just a little place compared to the heavens of the heavens. I want you to understand that. You just don't have any idea what's awaiting us. I mean, what's awaiting us is so breathtaking and so beyond description and so outside of the realm of a human flesh to grasp it until I just get overwhelmed talking about it. Wow, what a day that's going to be. And I'm on my way. Hey, the greatest thing about it, Brother Johnny, we're on our way. We're going to that place that's called paradise here in Paul's words. We're going to that place that is beyond human description, that is so majestic and so matchless and so mighty. Woo, hallelujah. So heaven is a marvelous place. Heaven is a marvelous place. Now, to start a little bit this morning, let's go back to Genesis. And let's look at what happened in the time of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, this gives you some feeling of the distinction between heaven and earth. I love these words to me. They're just really overwhelming. Genesis 3 and 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Now this is the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had been put in the garden to enjoy it, to watch over it. And so in the cool of the day, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, something has happened that is overwhelming, indescribable, really. God had put them in this garden. And it's very evident that God would come to the garden to walk with them. I don't know anybody in the world that gets a chance they don't enjoy walking through a garden. Don't you think that's somewhat of the nature of the spirit of man that God has given us, that we love a garden? It's like these flowers. They are, to me, breathtaking. They are so beautiful, and I marvel at the beauty of flowers. I try to make sure a week goes by that my wife doesn't get a bouquet of flowers from me. I really do. I miss sometimes because sometimes a bouquet lasts more than a week. And she said, now, I've already got them today, Brother Daddy. You don't need flowers, but sometimes I do it anyway. But I want you to understand, a garden is something special with God. And Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden. And this was the new earth that God had created. And the Father would come and walk with them in the garden. Now, there had to be a gateway between heaven and earth because the Father was coming through it on a daily basis to walk with them in the beauty of the afternoon. You know, to just enjoy the closing of another day. To enjoy the sunshine as it begins to sink in the sky. I mean, it was a beautiful thing. And this day, God shows up and he's looking for them. And he can't find them because they've hid themselves. And God cries out, Adam, where art thou? And of course, Adam had to confess. He'd made a mess out of things. He had sinned along with Eve, his wife. And you know what God did? Isn't God wonderful? Yes, have you thought lately about the greatness of your heavenly Father? Here he had come to find this couple to spend a little time with them who evidently, he already knew it, I'm sure, had sinned. And he kills an animal. He slays a sacrifice. He prepares a blood offering. A blood offering. And makes from the skin of that blood offering coats in which they may put over their nakedness. And they were able to walk out from behind the trees and have fellowship with God. Now, you got to see in this that there's a gateway between heaven and the earth. I'm talking about the doors of heaven. And so God had come through the gateway and he was looking for them, and they had sinned. And someone called me this week, and they'd heard a television program where one of the personalities on the program said, Adam and Eve was lost. Oh, they were lost. I said, wait a minute. Didn't the Bible say that God made a sacrifice of blood and garments to cover them so they could come out into the presence of God? Of course he did. Of course they were not lost. Remember, Jesus died, went into paradise, Abraham's bosom, went in to that place where the dead were, and the Bible said he preached to them who was once disobedient. Remember those words? That's in the book. So you can count on it. God came out of his presence through the gateway to have fellowship with this couple. They had sinned, and so God made a sacrifice for them. God made a sacrifice for them. He wasn't willing. Now listen. He wasn't willing to give up the fellowship that easily. And God isn't willing to give up fellowship with you either. He'll chasten you. He'll stay after you. He'll reach for you just like he has for Terry Wheeler. He will manifest his grace and love to bring you to himself, back to where you ought to be. And you can believe that. Last night I got angry at the devil. And I screamed, I'm telling you, I cried out, devil, you will not take my family and take them into the place of defeat and hell. No, you won't. Boy, as I prayed, I felt that sweetness of the Holy Ghost come down on me. And I knew God was hearing me as I prayed. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a God we serve. What a God. Now, this beautiful story that I read to you of Apostle Paul telling of the fact of being caught up to heaven. Now, you understand, I'm talking about the door. I'm talking about the door. There had to be an entrance way. There had to be a passage. There had to be a method of transfer from one realm to another realm. And so here this person, and Paul said, I don't know whether it's in the body or whether it's in the spirit. All I know is they was caught up to the third heaven. Now let's spend a moment here. Do you understand that there is an eternal heaven, the third heaven? That's God's great place. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great king. By the way, that's Psalms 48, verses 1, 2, and 3. I want you to know something, church. There's a beautiful place up there, and there's been a few places in history where men and women have crossed through into that glorious place. I didn't try to preach about Enoch. You remember the story of Enoch before the flood? The Bible said Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. I always say it like this. I say that they were walking together, and God said, Enoch, we're closer to my home than yours, so just go home with me. And Enoch went home with God and disappeared, and man saw him no more. Hallelujah. Anybody understand what I'm preaching? That there's a door between heaven and earth, and right now that door is being opened, and right now the transition is being changed or happening, and soon, we saints of God will be in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Paul got a little glimpse of that. Said, saw paradise. Have you ever wondered what paradise would look like? Hallelujah. You know, I dream. I'm a daydreamer. I'm a Joseph, surely a Joseph of the Bible. And I have a tendency to get imagining these kind of things and dreaming about them. And my mind just goes and goes. And finally, I realize I got to stop that. Man, I got to do more than dream. And I bring myself back down to the earth and understand, hey, the things that we're facing are breathtaking. And they're wonderful. And they're beautiful. And they're great. Now, let's go to John chapter 10. I want you to understand that there is an entrance into the presence of God and the blessings of God. And Jesus makes it very plain what that entrance is. And we see it in the book of John chapter 10, verse 9. I am the door. Hey, Brother Chambers, there are doors to heaven, yes, and Jesus is the door. I like that, don't you? I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. So there is a door, and the door is a man, and the man is God. And this God who became man, hallelujah, came to be the door so that nobody has to go the other direction. Nobody has to go to eternal hell. Nobody has to be lost, because the door is a simple name: Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. I'm here to tell you, I don't care where they live and who they are and what may be the background and how much has been their sins and their degradations. I'm here to tell you, any man or woman who stands up and says, I'm ready, Lord, to enter in, you are the door. And so, Jesus, I come in surrender to you. And hallelujah, he flings the door of salvation wide open. And that soul that needs heaven comes in, hallelujah, and begins to find pasture, the Bible said. Hallelujah. There's pasture within the spiritual realm of this eternal kingdom. Oh, do you understand? Hallelujah. The prayer the Lord taught us to pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Notice, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. A real Christian has a constant desire to do the things that are heavenly. Hey, are you listening to me? The real Christian who's really saved doesn't want anything in their lips. I'm talking about any words, any language. They don't want anything in their walk, in their life. They don't want anything in their life, anything in their conduct, anything in their opinion, anything in their goals, anything in their dreams that doesn't magnify the King, because in him we find pasture and he's the door. Somebody raise a hand and tell him you love him, would you? Hallelujah. What a God we serve, that he sent his Son to be the door. Now, you got to understand this. God the Father, who possesses the eternal realm, who absolutely is the brain of the universe, the mind of the universe, that great God who made this earth and made man, that great God who had to go to the garden and find this disobedient son and daughter and had to slay an animal to be a sacrifice. Listen to me when I tell you, that same God knew you and I needed a door to get back in to the presence of heaven. And so he is the door. Do you hear me? He is the door. There is no other door. Buddha's not a door. Allah's not a door. There's no other religion that is a door. The only door is Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Brother Johnson. Hallelujah, saints of God. There is a door, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, I thought you were talking about literal doors. Well, I am. There are literal doors, and there is the spiritual door. Hallelujah, by which we enter in to the wonderful and marvelous presence of God. Now, I got to show you something about prayer. Did you know that saints of God praying, literally are talking to a God who lives in that heavenly city? A saint of God praying here on the earth is talking to a God who lives in the third heavens. Did you know that? How many of you do that? See, sometimes we pray like we're talking to daddy or some Santa Claus or some figment of our imagination. Friend, when you pray, you ought to tremble way down inside. When you pray, there ought to be a sense of the divine and the majestic and the heavenly and the wonderful Lord. That really should. There should be such a sense of that you tremble. A saint of God who doesn't tremble when they pray does not understand what I'm preaching to you this morning. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Apostle Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of God, we do persuade men. I'm always a persuader when it comes to the things of Christ. I'm looking for doors to open to get somebody else in the kingdom, to get somebody else serving the Lord. Well, that's what prayer is. Prayer is a man or woman here on this earth talking to a God up there in the third heavens. And that's not a cheap matter. That's not some careless thing. You all you do is lay down at night and say some kind of, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I was taught that as a child. I remember that from the earliest time of my existence, but I've never saw it as a fitting prayer for me to pray. And no, in no circumstance. I'm talking to the King of Kings. I'm talking to the Majestic One. I'm talking to one that the scientists would try to tell you is millions and millions of light years away. I'm talking to one who, hallelujah, rules the heavens and the earth, and he's majestic, and the Bible makes it plain. Listen to this in Hebrews 10 and 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Wait a minute, Paul. What are you saying to me? That I can enter into the holiness? The holiness? That's not talking about holiness as a standard. It's actually holiest. Holiest. That's talking about a place. That's talking about a location. Where is the holiest? Behind the veil. In the heavenly temple. In the city of heavenly Jerusalem. Far, far from here in the way we would describe distance in our flesh. Far, far from here, but not in the spirit realm. It's not far away at all. You understand? You understand? So we're talking about a door. Let's listen to it. By new and living door, it says way here, but that means the same thing. By new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Hallelujah. So Jesus didn't just come to be a door for you to be saved. Jesus came to be a veil by which you talk to his Father on a regular basis. This is a doorway into the heavenly realm. This is a doorway into the heavenly presence. This is a doorway where God himself sits upon a majestic throne, and God the Son sits beside him and stands up when the situation calls for it. And he says that we have an interest, and he says, come boldly. You know, that's a pretty strong statement. Let us come boldly. How many pray boldly? Let me see your hand. Do you really pray boldly? How about standing up if you've learned how to pray boldly? You can sit back down in a moment, but stand up if you've learned how to pray boldly. Why shouldn't you be able to pray boldly? Because there's a veil, which is to say, his flesh, and that veil is a door. That's what veil means. You understand? He's using a term from the Old Testament temple, you know. He's using a term where in the Old Testament they had to let the high priest go behind the veil. And so we have a door called a veil, which is the entranceway into the presence of the majestic God, so we can pray and go right into behind the veil. So, somebody shout with me. Oh, you're too quiet on me this morning. Hallelujah. I can talk to God. I can go into the presence behind the veil, Brother Allen. Behind the veil. Right in there where God sits on his throne. Right there where Jesus is right beside him. The blood is on the altar in front of him. And I can bring my request. The doors of heaven. Are you getting the picture? Anybody getting the picture of the doors of heaven? The doors of entranceway? The doors where men can go to God and God can come to man? Hallelujah. It won't be long until we're going to meet together and that great separation, that great divide that has been there for 6,000 years is going to disappear and pass away. Hallelujah. And heaven and the earth are going to blend together. That's already in the process of happening. Amen. You may be seated. That's already in the process of happening. I'm telling you, I believe it with all my heart, the heavens are opening. The heavens are opening. I'm finding my prayer life different than it's ever been. I walk in this sanctuary. I cannot get from that door where my office is to this altar until the Holy Ghost is moving up and down the avenues of my soul. Hallelujah. Till I'm filling the Spirit and usually talking in the heavenly language because this is a place of prayer. This is a place of prayer. Our secretary, Wendy, married to a minister, and he says to me over and over, every time I walk in this sanctuary, it's like the Holy Ghost is right there welcoming me to walk in, and prayer becomes so simple in that sanctuary. That's how God intended for the house of God to be. Oh, somebody help me this morning. Somebody help me. I'm trying not to preach too long. I don't like to be long-winded. Sometimes I am, but don't you forget the veil. The veil of Christ, an entrance way into the Father's presence. Now, you know, he's just the type of the veil. The veil was the great curtain that was in the temple between the holy place from the holy of holies place. The holiest here, we saw in that first verse sentence, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. He's talking about that holy place, that place inside the temple, that place behind the veil, that place where we walk in holy of holies. I began calling my library at the house, at the parsonage, I've started calling it my holy of holies. My holy of holies. I'm finding more and more that my unsaved grandbabies won't even come in there. I've just had that experience. Wouldn't even come in. I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm doing my best to make it a holy place. Hallelujah. So full of the Holy Ghost to walk in is to tremble with conviction of the Holy Ghost to turn to Christ. Are you hearing me, church? There is a doorway, and that doorway is very quickly and very smoothly being opened. And very soon, this earth is going to have an experience with the mights of heaven, the glories of heaven, like it has never been before. It's almost here. Oh, I don't know what. Hallelujah. This, like I said, it's kind of over my head, but I'm giving it my best. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. I want you to look here at something powerful. Revelation 4 and 1. Listen carefully now to me. Listen carefully to me. Revelation 4 and 1 says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Wow. See, that takes place at the rapture. So if the rapture is at the door, right upon us, that means that door is about to be opened. And maybe it's already cracked. Maybe it's already flung wide. I can't tell you that. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I'd love to see it. Man, I've been praying, God, I want to see things like I've never seen. I want to understand things like I've never understood. I want a view of what's taking place. I want to be able to speak to my generation in such a manner that they tremble under the call of the Holy Ghost and the call of the Father. The world thinks that they're just going on and having a picnic, and they're just living a life of pleasure and self and money and satisfaction, bigger houses and bigger cars and bigger everything. Listen to me. I'm looking for bigger things with God. Hallelujah. I'm looking for bigger things on the other side. I'm looking for bigger things than this world ever gave anybody. Hallelujah. And here we see the door opened into heaven. If somebody don't shout hallelujah, I tell you what, I'm just going to stop preaching and shout a while. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, how can we be? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice I heard was as the voice of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Oh, sorry. Hallelujah. Come up hither. Come up hither. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now John was seeing exactly what we're fixing to experience. John's having a vision. See, the book of Revelation is a book of visions. There's probably close to 100 visions in the book of Revelation. John didn't just hear words. John saw pictures, which he described with words. And that's what Revelation is. That totally changes the whole beauty of Revelation. Here's this one vision after the other. 60 sometimes John saw, used the word like I saw, or I have seen, or I beheld, over and over. He talks about what he was seeing, what he was looking at, what was opening up in front of him. The visions that he was seeing, they were occurring in front of him like a great drama. And John would describe the drama as he saw it. And this is it again. He says, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice I heard was as it was of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately, he said, I was in the spirit. Beheld, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. Now, I wish that I could describe the throne that John saw. I've tried. I've studied. But I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But that throne that John saw was majestic beyond words. He could only describe it, Brother Marlon, in terms that kindly we understand. Colors. Rainbows. You know, brilliant things. You know, that's all he could do. I guess I shouldn't expect to describe it when John didn't do much describing it. Amen. But it was breathtaking. It was out of sight. It was wonderful. And John had been now in the vision, walked through the door into the presence of a heavenly future in which the saints of God are before the throne of God. And they've got on white garments. They got crowns on their head. Hallelujah. Somebody says, that's not the rapture. Well, then you please tell me what it is. When you got saints of God in white garments and crowns on their head, they aren't down here. They aren't just natural. They're glorified saints. They've been caught up. They've been caught. They passed through the door. Did you hear me? They passed through the entranceway. They went through the gate. Hallelujah. And they're over on the other side. And I can't wait to be over on the other side. Hallelujah. 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 I can't wait to be over on the other side. It's going to be a grand moment. Glory. Glory. Well, I know, it's just too much, isn't it? Go over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21 and verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. The streets of the city were pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw the temple therein. I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And now, you know, temples have been an intimate part of the church life. They had temples in Israel and God told them how to build them. We have churches today and God ordains a house of God where the saints meet. He said we're not to fail to meet together. Oh, he makes that very plain. He said such as was saved was added to the church every day. Very, very important. But you listen to me. The time is coming when there will not be an earthly temple. There will be a heavenly spiritual temple. And it will be God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. Oh, what a day. And your gates, 12 of them. And they're named after the 12 apostles. Oh, listen to me, church. There's an entrance way into the heavenly, and we are going to be there before you know it. It's all getting ready. It's all almost here. We're just waiting. Hallelujah. We're just shouting. We're just enjoying the excitement that is right at hand. We'll be with him forever. Hallelujah. How many of you believe there's an entrance way into heaven? How many of you have been there lately in your prayer life? Have you prayed through lately? Until you pray through, you haven't been into the veil. Do you hear me? You haven't been into the veil until you pray through. When somebody says, how can I know when I pray through? I said, you won't have any trouble knowing, brother, when you pray through. I won't need to tell you. I won't need to describe it to you. When you pray through, you'll know it. Oh, hallelujah. Well, let me read just a little more here. Bring it to a close to you. Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful. I love this glorious truth of this Bible. It's like they never end. They get sweeter. Now, I want to take you to Acts. I know what I meant to do. I want to take you to Acts. want to show you something in Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Did you know a vision or a dream takes you inside the realm of heaven? Takes you inside the presence of the Father? Takes you inside the glory of His plans for us? Oh, friends, you hear me when I tell you this morning, we are at the door of this glorious hour, and God wants us to get so committed and so devoted and so dedicated to it that we live for the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand while I finish preaching this morning? Stand with me, please. Now listen to me. Listen to me. The gates of heaven will shortly be wide open. I do not know how soon that will be. I don't set dates. I know better than that. Nobody should. But I can tell you one thing. We're so close. We're so near. We're right at the door. And I get so excited when I think about it. I get thrilled to know that this day is coming in the book of Revelation, right after the rapture. Let me just share this with you in closing. Right after the rapture. You'll go, if you would, please, to chapter 6. The seals are being poured out. I mean, the rapture has begun. I met with a man Friday who doesn't believe in the rapture. He's an old-fashioned preacher's son. Old-fashioned preacher's son. And somebody's got to his brain and taught him the rapture. The pre-trib rapture is not the right interpretation. He's a mid-tribber, they called him. He says it happens in the middle of the tribulation. He's all confused. All confused. I mean, he wasn't just confused about that. There were several things that go with it. See, when you doubt the pre-trib rapture, you're messing up things for Israel. You're messing up things for Israel. Because Israel, the Bible makes it plain, there'll be a image of the Antichrist erected in the temple in the middle of the tribulation. In the middle. And Jesus makes that plain in Matthew 24. Revelation makes it plain in chapters, different chapters of Revelation. You listen to me. We are close to the door, friend. We're close. Well, this picture in Revelation says, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every freeman, did hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the earth, and said to the mountain and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Are you listening? I'm stopping. I'm slowing up because I want you to hear it. This is in the first of the tribulation. These are the wicked of the earth. They're kings. They're mighty men. They're great men. The chief captains. I mean, these are the highest of the high. These are the best of the best in the worldly sense. These are great men. And now they're hiding. And they're crying out, mountains, fall on me. Cover me. Why are they crying out like this? Because they looked up and saw the face of him that sitteth on the throne. So the earth inhabitants at this point of the great tribulation are able to see past the doors, because the doors have been swung wide open, because the elements of the sky have been burnt up with incredible heat, because the second heavens has rolled away like a stroll and has disappeared. And the Bible says all of this. And so now there's no distance between the earth dweller and the heavenly scene. And so the wicked look up. You said, what do you mean the doors are opening? The gates are being swung wide. Exactly what I'm reading to you right now. We are coming down to the end where the distance between earth and heaven is going to quickly vanish and cease to be. And the great God Jehovah on his throne will be visible to the wicked on this earth. Is that right, brother? Is that right, brother? Is that right, brother? Is that right, Alan? Am I reading the truth, Terry? Is that right, Brother Whitfield? Brother Dillon? Is it right? We are right there, friends. The doors are shortly wide open. I think they're already moving in the open position. God's gistitoparete, all the Murphy's, hallelujah. I don't think God opened my soul to this morning just for the pleasure of preaching a sermon. I believe he opened it because he's trying to get the word to every one of us. And now by radio and by the internet, any way we can get this sermon out there, we got to tell people it's coming down to a close. The doors are being swung open. We don't know the moment. We don't have a dateline. We just know this Bible is right. And it's already happening. It's a clean separate. Father God, I come to you this morning in the name of your Son Jesus. I've done my best to preach this sermon with all this in me. It's been heavy, I'm sure, for some to listen who've never studied Revelation and the deep things of God. But I pray that they'll become hungry after these great truths. They'll begin to search this holy Bible, the book of Revelation, all the other books of the scripture, until they know where they are. Until they've entered the door into the glorious presence of the King. Somebody just raise your hand and just pray with me. Would you just raise your hand? Let the Holy Ghost be real in you this morning. Let the real Holy Ghost flow through you like a river this morning. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, what a day. What a day. I know it's Mother's Day. Dinner will be shortly. I understand that. Some children, as I called them, told me they'd be helping get dinner ready for Mother. That's okay. I love that. Have nothing at all against it. Not a thing. But I want you to know something. It's later than you think. And if you're not saved, you ought not leave this building unsaved. Anybody that's not absolutely right with God and you want us to pray for you, slip your hand up. Anybody. You're not right with God.